Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio.
Me and my friend take this rap shit seriously.
Boom. Episode, is this 135?
I believe so. Episode 135.
Let me double check before we really get cracking. Yeah, episode 135, Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm John, your host.
I'm Josh, your other host.
And yeah, we getting it in. How you been, Josh?
I'm chilling, bro. I'm chilling. Yeah. I started rewatching The Wire a couple weeks ago, and then like I stopped right around the end of the first season and just started, like, I was really like trying to finish out the documentary at that point.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I was like, oh, I kind of fell off of it. But then like I got into it, like I started watching again over the last couple of days, like really getting into rewatching The Wire. And I finished season two and I realized, like, I skipped over, like, the last couple of times I've rewatched The Wire, mm-hmm. I skipped over season two.
Oh shit! Okay,
because it's like it's generally considered like the worst season because it mm-hmm. the concentration is completely moved from like fucking Stringer Bell and all that shit. Like it's completely moved from like the Barksdale. It's more like concentrated on the docks and like mm-hmm. All that kind of shit. But what I realized was how fucking in it really was, mm-hmm. and how much it's how much character development it does.
Oh wow.
For okay. like a whole bunch, because like Avon and them are still in it, but they're not like the primary targets of like the investigation. But like right. how much development it does for Stringer, and it introduces, well, we get Prop Joe in the first season, but like this gives us more insight into Prop Joe and like mm-hmm. how much it gives us more of all these other people.
I'm really wondering if this whole quarantine is going to be the event that makes me finally sit down and watch The Wire. Because I don't, real shit, like last time I mentioned on social media that I had never seen The Wire, I thought niggas was going to show up at my crib with pitchforks.
I mean, it might be the right response, yo.
it might be an adequate response. Dog, people were really, I felt a feeling of like niggas were like disappointed in me. Like they were like, yo, you supposed to be up on it, dog. Like, why have you not watched The Wire? And I think for the brief like window of like years it was on the air, when it first came on the air, I didn't have cable.
Yeah.
And then I never jumped in on it. You know what I mean? I've seen episodes, I've seen multiple episodes, but I've never sat down and watched the full series. People be making like Wire references. They be like, you know what I mean? Like talking about like, you know, like you just talked about like the character development in season two, and people be talking about like different story arcs and everything. All of that shit is Greek to me.
Yeah.
I've never sat and watched this show.
I think you should. It's honestly probably, it's my favorite like series of all time.
Yeah.
I think it makes like a show, and I know you loved, like you really liked Breaking Bad.
It makes Breaking Bad was cool.
Yeah, it makes a show like Breaking Bad possible.
Right. Because I'm not a person who prides myself on like, that thing that y'all like, I don't fuck with that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not at all that kind of person. You know what I mean? And also I feel like I would like it, but I just never, I don't think I gave it really like the time and attention, you know, that it required. Because even when I've sat and watched it, I've been like, oh, this is cool. You know, niggas is hustling, they got the cops, they wilding, you know what I mean? Like, this is something I would watch.
Yeah.
But I just never sunk into it. But I'm going to make an effort, really, really just not on some like, yo, I want to be down, but I want to get out of this piece of art what other people get out of it.
Yeah.
So I'm really, maybe that's, that might be my pledge. I'm thinking, I might tweet this and let niggas drag me for it. I might tweet, I might let niggas know that this might be the week that I actually sit down with The Wire and try to like
get through it,
get myself into it, and like go through the whole thing.
Yeah, I honestly think it also took some time for me, like, to really now as an older person appreciate, because season two is a little slower than season one too, and it's like I think like it took me time as an adult to be like, oh, I really appreciate season two now for other reasons. Right. Also, it develops. What I really enjoy is like they don't short sell their audience a lot, where like they really get in depth about like how they're like how they're wiretapping people in the first season, because it's like the introduction to the wire, quote unquote, right? And each season, like, a wiretap is part of the investigation. So like each season they just get less and less more involved in telling you how they're doing it. They're just doing it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Just doing it.
It's a I mean, I'm excited because I'm on season three now, and season three and four are like probably my favorites.
Word.
But yeah, I mean, I would definitely say check it out. You have Amazon Prime, right? So you got Prime Video. So it's free on Prime Video. You can just watch it all on Prime Video.
Dog, at this point, like, we got like, I don't want to say all the streaming, the streaming joints. We got a bunch of them.
Yeah,
a bunch of them.
Because I was freaked because it was on Hulu, and Hulu like just dropped it the other day in the middle of me watching it, and I was like, "Oh, you son of a bitch!" And they threw it behind. Now it's behind like an add-on paywall, and I'm like, "Fuck that!" But then somebody in our Twitter mentions was like, "Oh, you can just like get an Amazon account," and I was like, "Oh shit, it's on Amazon." So I just been watching. Now I've watched it on Amazon. Yeah, dude, I have fucking pretty much all of them too now, yo.
It's crazy, yo. Like, I heard a dude say on a rap song recently as like a flex, he was like, y'all niggas ain't got cable. You know what I mean? And I was like, damn, that is, like, I wouldn't be paying, you know, $250 whatever, you know what I mean, a month for cable right now. I was like, I got a lot of fucking streaming services.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think for me, part of it is, you know, I add them mostly because of my kids. Because, like, honestly, I have the, you know, I got the Fire Stick. I can watch anything I really want just, like, finding shit on a Fire Stick. And I have, like, a little more patience with stuff. So if it's like, oh, it's got a little lag in it, it's got some buffer in it. But, like, my mom, zero patience. And like, for shit like that, like, she's not gonna deal with that. And
she older, she don't gotta have patience.
Exactly.
She's you know,
my kids will just complain. So like, I'm like, I don't wanna deal with the complaining, and I don't wanna deal with like the zero patience shit. So I'll just get like the apps. But I also had it when I had my old job. So like, I'll like, when I be sitting in the truck at night instead of working, I could sit and watch like Netflix or some shit.
Yeah. That shit, dog. If I had to like work in somebody's office or some shit somewhere, you know what I mean? Or like sit for hours. I used to write raps. Like, that was my entertainment shit. I remember I worked at the loading dock at the convention center, and I would be there overnight, you know what I mean? When like the shipments were coming in and shit. And it would be like, I would take my lunch break, you know, at like midnight or like 1 a.m. or some shit, and I would like roll a L and then go eat and then come back and sit in the dock and then just write raps for hours. And that was like my entertainment. Niggas could have been still as shit. You know what I mean? People could have got killed or whatever, because I was security, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But if I had like a little mini device or whatever, I could have just been, you know,
absolutely
watching like if Netflix was out, even then watching like, you know, like some streaming shit.
Yeah, I used to do before like you know, fucking like streaming on your phone and shit like that. When I was working that job years and years and years ago, I bought a portable DVD player and I would take that to work and I would bring DVDs with me to watch. Like, you know, I'd buy a season of like fucking Archer or some shit like that and like sit and watch a whole season of Archer on
Chappelle's show or something.
I had Chappelle's show. I had like all that kind of shit because I'm like, I got to get through the night and I damn sure don't feel like working all night.
Yeah. Yeah, that shit is, I don't miss that shit.
No, not like, at all, dog.
At all, you know what I mean? My, I've been seeing a lot of journalists just thinking about, like, work and, like, money stuff. I've been seeing a lot of journalists getting laid off and a lot of freelancers saying that the publications that they work for, their budgets have been frozen.
Yeah.
But that hasn't happened with any of the people that I write for. You know what I mean? Like, my batting average as far as, like, so you, like, pitch a story, you know, they either say yay or nay, they accept it, and they're going to pay you to write it or not. My batting average has been, like, dumb high lately. So I've been cool on money. You know what I mean? But I don't miss how I used to work and earn money, but I'm also looking like concerned, like I don't want this shit to affect what I'm doing now.
Yeah, for real.
You know what I mean?
No, that's real. That's completely real.
Yeah.
I've thought about that with stuff because, you know, right now, you know, everything's a little cool and I can float and you know what I mean? But like, you know, who knows in 6 months and... I think a lot of it is, especially when you're like a creative and you're like in our situation, a lot of this is like betting on yourself.
Like a motherfucker.
And you kind of just got to be like, yo, things are, I have faith in like another 4 months, there's going to be some other like windfall of like work shit that I can get paid off of.
Yeah.
Because, I didn't want to cut you off, my bad.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, I mean, like, we've lost live show money. We've lost, like, there's shit that we aren't able to do right now because, you know, can't nobody get together and do shit.
Yeah. We had a bunch of shit that we were planning for the summer. And, like, some of the shit I don't want to do on Zoom.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, God bless niggas. Like, there's a improv group that I will go see in Center City, when we could go out to see, we would like go see improv and they let you like drink in the audience and shit.
Yeah.
So we like go see improv and like drink and like laugh and shit and then go out to dinner or whatever. You know what I mean? In Center City, that improv group obviously can't do their shit now. So now they're doing like Zoom improv shows.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, God bless them, but like, I don't want to do what our live shows were, on Zoom.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Or Skype. You know what I'm saying? Like, if somebody approached us, you know what I mean, with a situation, then that's different. But like right now, you know, everything's locked down. I can't go out and DJ. I have a lot of people asking me, like, yo, why don't you stream DJing from your crib? Or why don't you jump in on our stream? Or why don't you do this? I would rather put my head down, write this book, and write for money.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do. I can't go nowhere. My partner and I can't go out and have fun or eat or whatever. I'm locked down in the crib 24/7. I want to bury my head in the computer and write for as much money as I can earn right now.
Exactly, yeah.
That's really what I want to do. I don't want to do, you know, God bless other people for doing it. I'm loving, like, the DJ streams and, like, people doing their thing, people doing, like, stand-up comedy streams. I love that shit. I don't really want to do that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
my feeling could change, but right now, that's where I'm at with it.
Yeah, I don't know how, I don't know, man, because, like, where I used to be, like, not afraid of the audience, but in the sense of like having stage fright type shit. Now, like from doing the live shows that we've done, like I feed when the audience is laughing or having fun. I don't know how much I'm gauging that off of like a fucking Skype camera or a Zoom camera and shit. Right. Like, I don't know how much I'm gauging that. And like, I don't know, man. Like, I just don't know if that's fun for us as an overall and all that kind of shit. Like, you know, I want to go back to doing the live shit, man. Like, you know, yeah. I can't wait for that to happen. But again, like, that's one of those things where it's like, you know, we just have to wait that out. And yeah, that's lost revenue stream. And like, so for me right now, like my biggest thing is like, all right, well, I'm working on this documentary, but that's like, that's a payday that's down the line.
Yeah, that's not something that's like, you know, exactly what, you know, is going to come from that financially. Yeah. It's just, you know, like you said earlier, just like betting on yourself and trying to make it happen.
Yeah. And, you know, you get people every once in a while, someone pops up and tells you like, yeah, man, I believe in what y'all doing. And sometimes you need that little refresher in your head. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like
I was just going to say, because sometimes you're just working and you don't know how people feel about it or how it's being received or whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a big thing. Sometimes you just don't. You don't know how people, you're just putting shit out there and you don't know how people are receiving it. And then you get somebody go like, no, y'all guys, y'all on the right path.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Let us jump out.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's take a break and then we'll come back and chat a little bit more. Some like update stuff, news stuff that's going on, and we can jump in and talk about this Ludacris versus Nelly shit that happened last night. All right, boom. Back in effect. So this is something interesting that I saw is going down. The Universal Hip Hop Museum is celebrating 50 years of The Last Poet's first album, their debut. And they got a bunch of people. It's like Black Thought and like Chuck D and all these people coming together to celebrate the legacy of really of a group that, you know, more so than anybody else, really laid a template that rap and like hip hop culture would follow later on. I don't think that we really like the Last Poets get their flowers, you know what I mean, so to speak. But I don't think we really understand that these cats were really like rhyming in like the late 60s, early 70s.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? They were really rhyming and putting it on records. Even the joint like Hustlers Convention, that record was one of the like primary, like cats used to get their like routines and their rhyming style from that record. That was just the Last Poets under a different name.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's really from the beginning of this shit, they've been like a seminal influence, and it's dope to see them being honored for it.
Yeah, that's important too, because I think sometimes, you know, we forget like where things evolve from. I mean, like you go listen to fucking, you know, hip hop, like you listen to that and they go to what like somebody's doing now, you know, yeah, it doesn't, you know, it comes from that, but like, you know, it sounds like two different things. Mm-hmm. You know, we had like a big evolutionary swing in like the late 80s. And then like the mid 90s to now, there was even an evolution in there. And so,
right,
like what the Last Poets did, like you can say like, oh, well, you know, that's not really, you can have people argue like that's not real hip hop, but it's still, a foundation base.
Yeah.
And so those folks getting their flowers and being honored is really important, because it's important to understand where things come from.
Yeah, it's easy to look at what we have now, you know, as far as like contemporary flows and styles and like even the sound of the music and everything. And, you know, I think we all understand that it evolves from somewhere, but I think partially we kind of look at things in a vacuum too. And unless you have that like real like deep understanding of how this shit has evolved historically, you know, then you end up with like people on Twitter arguing that ASAP Rocky or Nelly made Air Force Ones popular. You know what I mean? If you don't like really understand historically how things have developed, you know what I mean? I'm sure there's somebody young who thinks like Biggie and Pac were like the first rappers. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like it's because motherfuckers don't know. Well, you know what I mean? Where the shit evolves from.
Well, when I was in India, and you know, like when you guys see the documentary, this will be part of it, is like hip hop kind of started in India with like what's the Eminem movie?
That's so crazy.
Yeah,
that's, I remember y'all mentioning that was kind of like the catalyst, and it's wild to think
of that. And like the first 50 Cent album is like their old school music. Like, you know what I mean? Right. Like they're getting more stuff now, but like that's where like a lot of their like music, that was their first big exposure to hip hop.
Yeah, that's so crazy to me. And I'm really interested in that phenomena in general, like how hip hop ends up in different locations in the world.
Yeah.
Like what was the first thing that they got? I want to say last year I wrote a piece on the history of hip hop in Taiwan.
Uh-huh.
And I interviewed a bunch of people from Taiwan who were like producers and DJs and people who had been in the scene, but they were mostly like young people. A lot of the older cats I couldn't get to. But it was interesting that it was a group called the LA Boys who were from California. They were Taiwanese American, and they were from California, and they got a deal and went over to Taiwan, and they were making like kind of like New Jack Swing rap. You know what I mean? It's like maybe like early 90s, and they were all on TV, like breakdancing. It was the first time people had seen like breakdancing and shit in Taiwan. And they were really like the first group, is bugged out to think that three Americans, you know, or American born people would be the ones to introduce this culture to their, you know, ancestral land. But that's really, you know, how it went. They were like the first cats who were really doing it over there. So that idea that 8 Mile, Get Rich or Die Trying was like the catalyst to hip hop in India, it's like a fascinating idea to me.
Yeah, because it then like what like their idea of like how people started rhyming idea, like of like, oh well, like Eminem, like his style of rhyming is like the original style of rhyming here,
right?
Like it's interesting. It's always interesting to me like to see where people get like their influences from. Mm-hmm. And to see like your origins being like, and then exposure of like a movie is what kind of first really exposes you to a music.
Right. Right.
You know, but that happens with, you know, you'll hear, like I've heard, like, you know, I've watched like a show like Master of None, hearing a song on there going like, what song is that? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or some shit like that. I mean, that's like one of my favorite shows right now is a show called What They Do in the Shadows. It comes from a documentary. It's a mockumentary. It can't be a documentary about vampires, but it came from a mockumentary and from Taika Waititi. And there's a song called You're Dead. Which is like Norma, I can't think of her last name right now. But it's a old song. And it's one of my favorite songs in the world. Like, I love that song.
Norma Tanega?
Yes, Norma Tanega, yeah.
Word.
And I love that song. It's fucking amazing. And I would have never been exposed to that without that documentary. And then, like, the TV show uses the same song for the intro for the TV show. And fucking love that song, dog. But like, that's my introduction to her as an artist. I never, you know, where would I was going to stumble across her as an artist?
Yeah, that's an underrated aspect of the power of film.
Yes.
Too.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like with the marriage of film and music.
Yeah. And it, what I will say, too, I mean, like, listen, you know, me and you both don't love Eminem's music. Right. What I will say is at least, you know, with 8 Mile, you get some kind of idea of actual hip hop culture. Where, like, you know, it wasn't like some glammed up version of it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's obviously it's Hollywood, so it's somewhat glammed up. But like, at least there's some kind of real shit, like The Shelter and all that kind of stuff in there. That's like, you know, at least some kind of real culture that you at least get exposed to.
Yeah, I'm not from Detroit, obviously.
Yeah.
But as somebody who spent their teen years deeply in Philly's underground hip hop scene and like going to like the all that parties and like footwork and shit like that, you know what I mean? La Taza, all of those spots. That shit in 8 Mile was really how it was, even down to like they was the beats that the DJ was playing that people were like freestyling over. You know what I mean? A lot of that shit was really close to Hollywood will probably ever get to like what it was like being a backpacker in like the mid-90s.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? They really, you know, for whatever like, you know, issues I have with Eminem musically, that shit was true to, you know, what they were trying to capture.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I think that's important. And at least, like I said, like at least they got exposed to something like that, as opposed to like, oh, you know, they got like Malibu's Most Wanted and was like, yo, this is like hip hop. Like, you know what I mean?
It's hip hop. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I want to I think because the I have to mention it. The Last Poet Celebration. I'm going to dig up the date and the time real quick, but it's being held virtually.
Okay. That's,
you know,
dope.
What I mean? Like they're going to have, it's like Dougie Fresh and Rakim, Jadakiss, you know, Sonya Sanchez, Jessica Cara Moore, just all kind of people, really gathering to celebrate the Last Poets. And it's coming up Wednesday. So it'll be, Wednesday, 7 o'clock Eastern time. And we'll post a link.
Yes.
Probably tweet like a link for folks to find it, because it's on YouTube and Facebook. But it's going to come up a day after this episode goes up.
Word. That's dope. Yeah, we'll make sure we'll at least tweet out something about it. Tweet the link out.
Absolutely. Did you watch, you said, you didn't catch the Luda and Nelly shit.
Not live.
Because you were watching.
I was watching The Wire.
You were watching The Wire.
And, like, I really forgot. I was sitting there watching. I was watching an episode. I think it was like the last episode of season 2. And like, I was like scrolling, you know, because I have like the attention span of a 2-year-old. So like, I'm like, oh, I'm scrolling on like Twitter and shit as it's going on. And I'm seeing like people talking about the battle. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I forgot that was first that. Part of it is too, I forgot it was fucking Saturday. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just didn't, I forgot with everything going on, you know, with like time not really making a difference anymore. I kind of forgot it was Saturday. So I was just scrolling and shit. And then I was, oh shit. And I'm like, fuck, I'll just catch it on replay. Like, I'll watch the YouTube video of it and shit. So
plus they start them shits at like 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That ain't the time. We adults. Yeah. Like that ain't the time when we used to events start. No. We used to shit starting at like 10 o'clock.
Yeah, that's when,
you know what I mean?
That's when
get
the
there at like midnight.
The premiere joint started at like 10 o'clock at night.
You know, they knew all the old heads got, put their kids down for bed. Primo RZA battled. But that shit, the Nelly, you know, I wasn't like really into like Nelly or Luda when they were out, you know what I'm saying? But it was cool, and it's fun to like be on Twitter during the whole thing and see people like joking and they, you know, coming through with the memes and shit.
Yeah.
I think Luda won hands down.
I mean, you know, I think Luda's the better artist. in my opinion. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? I've always liked Luda better. I was never like some giant Ludacris fan, but he's definitely like the more preferred MC to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that it goes to like taste and then generational too. You know what I mean? I saw a lot of cats who are kind of in our demographic that were, you know, riding with Luda.
Yeah.
Other folks were riding with Nelly. Nelly was fucking up. Nelly would have had a stronger chance if his like internet connection.
Dog, I heard him say at one point, oh yeah, you know, we got some like storm clouds in the sky. I'm like, fam, is your internet like based on DirecTV? Like, why is the storm clouds interrupting your fiber optics?
Yo, he really did say that. He was like, oh man, you know, them rain clouds just fucking up the internet. I'm like, nigga, what year is this?
I was like, dog, like, is it interrupting your, do you need to move your satellite dish? Like,
I was gonna say, you got the satellite on the side of the crib.
What is going on? He's sending Murphy Lee up there to like fix the satellite. You know what I mean?
Terrible, yo. And then his shit was like dropping out, but then when it would play, it sounded like he was playing it off his phone.
Yeah. And they sent
his
out.
His music wasn't even hitting.
Versus, like, on their IG page, like, had, and I actually posted it in our story, or maybe even on the page. I don't remember. But, like, they sent out, like, speaker setups for Ludacris and for Nelly. Like, it said, like, we don't want no sound issues. And I'm like, still gonna get him. I mean, when you got a dude that's using, like, you know, he's got a giant, you know, he's got a telescope for fucking internet service. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
My man had like the, remember when you would go in a nigga crib and he had a TV for sound on the bottom and a TV for picture on the top. He had like the rabbit ears and shit. I was like, come on, Nelly. Man. You too rich. You started a whole school in St. Louis. You too rich for your shit to not be right.
Yeah, dog. You know I couldn't believe like he was at, like, you know, listen, there's glitches and all that kind of stuff that happens. I mean, yeah. I'm afraid to speak on it because like I don't want, but like me and you do
a Jixi.
Yeah, me and you, neither one of us are in no way near like can afford the internet service that they could afford. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. Just get that NASA shit.
Yeah.
Like, you rich.
Like, get.
You got Diamond. He got the plaques and shit. Yeah. Showing his trophies and shit. My nigga, why your internet not better?
Yeah. Like, yo, fucking screw that into the top of your router or some shit. Get a better signal.
Just grind out picture and him, like, screwing it in. Dog, that shit, it's crazy at this point. The technical shit will fuck you up. These, I swear, like, when the stream started, Nelly shit froze once.
Yeah.
And niggas was already tweeting. Like, oh, here we go. Niggas was calling him Nelly Riley. Like, compared to the Teddy Riley. Teddy Riley was in the comments clowning and laughing at Nelly. I'm like, this shit is out of pocket.
Yeah, I know Ludacris told him at one point, like, yo, your internet needs some milk. And I was like,
Luda, because you know they had like a little issue years ago, you know what I mean? It was cool to see them bigging each other up and shit, but I also felt like Luda was like throwing little shots at him, you know what I mean? But they was beefing over like Luda. Chingy was supposed to sign with Nelly, but then he skated and signed with Luda and DTP.
Okay.
And Nelly ain't like that shit.
Yeah, I know they shouted Chingy out at one point in the they were like, yo, Chingy in here. I was like, hey, listen, shout out to him. I'm glad like his, you know, I'm glad his phone service was able to get
able to connect.
Yeah, I'm glad he had enough gigs left on his internet on his cell phone plan that he was able to stream the whole joint.
He was playing joints and Nelly was, and like the volume wasn't even hitting, dog. You can't do that. Like, you can't be out here trying to sound clash with somebody and your sound ain't right.
Yeah, one thing I will say too is like you could definitely tell Ludacris was a radio DJ.
Yes, absolutely.
Like just how
he carried that whole
Yep.
you know, however, 3-4 hours, whatever they were on, he carried that shit.
Yeah.
He was introing songs.
And that's what I was about to say, like, just how he introed songs, you could tell he was a DJ. Like, you know what I mean? He was like, right. Yo, we got coming up next. We got this. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, you could tell you worked at a radio station, dog.
At what point Nelly played some shit, and I'm sure they give each other track listings, what they want to play beforehand. Nelly played some shit, and Luda was like, yeah, you know, my brother, that's a beautiful tune that you did. And you was talking about that pimping. You know, I got a lot of pimping in here. Pimping all over the world. But, you know, that's when we came. We went in the studio. It was me, Jermaine Dupri, and we did this joint. And he played it. I was like, that's a bad motherfucker. Yeah. Like, he could, if he wanted to be... You know, like one of these like podcaster dudes, yep. like Joe Budden, or you know what I mean? If he wanted to transition into that shit, Luda would be unstoppable.
Yeah, he definitely could be like, you know, like Moni Love's on the radio type shit. Like, he could definitely, if that's what he wanted to go do, he could host, you know, Atlanta, whatever radio station in Atlanta is like the big station. He could be their morning dude or their afternoon drive dude, like, no doubt.
Yeah. That whole, tradition of like black southern radio DJs, you know, riffing and like rhyming and introing songs and shit. You could tell he grew up hearing that shit, and you could tell he started his early career doing that shit.
Yep, absolutely. They got to a point where like some of the Nelly, like all the ludicrous stuff I knew.
Right. All of it hit.
Yeah. Some of Nelly's joints, I was just like, I don't know this song. And like, granted, like, you know, that wasn't even like, you know, I was still like relatively young. I was probably right around his age, but I'm not like, I wasn't a big Nelly fan. So like, I didn't know all of it. So like, some of the stuff I'm just like, I don't know, dude. Like, I mean, he took an L on me just because like, I just think Luda's the better artist, but like,
right.
For me, it was just like, dude, I don't know this song. Like, what song? Also, can we get, like, an agreement for, like, all the MCs who do this? If you're going to play a feature song that you feature on, can you play your feature and not, like, the artist's main verse? Nah. They played the Jagged Edge joint, and, like, Jagged Edge was singing, and, like, there's no rap. I'm like, dog, what is you doing?
You just playing the whole thing? Yo, dog, Nelly played back-to-back songs with him and Biggie. I was mad as hell. I was like, yo, nigga, one, that's like a Biggie duet joint. That's some shit y'all did after he died.
Yeah.
Like, how you go play multiple joints with you and Biggie? Come on, man.
Yeah.
That was the only thing that I wasn't fucking with Nelly with on that shit. You know what I mean? Some of the songs, like you said, like I didn't know because it's just, you know, outside of my purview. But the fact that he played two big joints, I was like, all right, no, you wildin' right now.
And then like, you really wildin'. The one joint he plays Big's verse, and it's like, dude, that's not you rhyming. Can we get like
on and on and on? He played the whole thing.
Also, you know what I think? I think they got like a note from like Timbaland and Swizz, like, yo, we want to like hold like some time in, like, because y'all go like people going long, blah blah blah, because like some of the joints they would just play like the very beginning of the song and like a bar or two and then cut the joint off.
Right Yeah, it's definitely like time managed.
Yeah.
You could tell, because even Luda was saying, he was like, yeah, Tim said, you know, we got until 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, so y'all doing this shit like a real event.
Yes. Yeah, they like, yo, the police gonna come raid. Like, if we not
come knock on the door.
Yeah, if we not here, it's like, we not out of here. Like, your city has a sound ordinance. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, dog. Every joint Luda played was hit.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Every single joint he played.
Yeah, even the you joints I mean? Was like, oh, I'm not a huge fan of that song. But like,
wait, which one?
No, even the joints where I wasn't like a huge fan of the song, like, they still was like, oh, this was a hit. Like, I remember being somewhere where this was a fucking hit.
Them shits was ringing off, yo.
Yeah.
Stand Up.
Yeah, yeah.
Stand Up is crazy still.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That If you put together, like, Kanye got a lot of crazy fucking beats. If you put together like a strong like top 10 bangers of Kanye produced shit, you might have to put Stand Up in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a crazy beat.
Yeah, and it's also like, you know what I mean? It's a little bit of a departure from like what you would think of as a Kanye beat.
Yeah, he was still in like, I can't remember exactly when that record came out. I don't know if he was still doing the like sped up the Chipmunk soul samples. But he was really known for like soulful shit at that time. And he was like, all right, I'm going to give y'all this like crazy dark club sounded shit. Yep.
Like joints like Roll Out. All that kind of shit. Like those joints
pussy
was
popping. Yeah. Like,
yeah. Now
he didn't play a single joint that was a miss.
Nah. And like, I will say, I did like the BET Uncut section of the show
when they were waxing poetic about BET Uncut.
Yes, I appreciate said that.
Nelly said Deborah Lee told him like, "Yo, the first thing I'm gonna do, I'm gonna get rid of BET Uncut." I was like, "God damn."
Yeah.
Like, what's wrong with that?
I don't know, man. They just, like, you know, BET Uncut was the shit.
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, that shit, it was dope. It was cool to see. It was interesting also how the whole thing broke down or how people react to things differently based on, like, culture, race, you know, gender.
Yeah.
Age, definitely age. This cat, I don't know, he's like a British dude. I don't know if he like produces or DJs. I didn't look into it, but this dude named sent out like a snarky tweet, like, "Oh, y'all was really listening to Nelly in the 2000s, and Black Twitter has been destroying this young man for the past whatever he tweeted that shit. You know, 9 o'clock last night, they've been digging in his ass. You know what I mean? Over that shit." And I think it's like a whack thing to come on the internet and be like, "Oh, this thing that y'all like, psh, that's trash." If it's not hurting anybody,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying. It's like a whack thing to do. But I think what kind of got lost in the conversation might be like the generational divide.
Absolutely.
That might have, you know, inspired that tweet, because I, you know, this dude is probably like a couple years older than you and I. He absolutely wasn't listening to Nelly and probably don't see no value in Nelly's music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so he decided, instead of just feeling that and being quiet, like, he decided to state that in a real whack way on Twitter, and he earned the smoke that he got.
Yeah, like, listen, man, like, I wasn't like, "Oh, man, like, yo, Sweatsuit, favorite album of all time." Like,
right.
No. Dog, but like, people that were a little bit younger than us, and like, for me, like, yeah, this wasn't like my favorite hip hop of all time, but what it was music when I was out. It was music that was getting played at the bar. It was music that was getting, like, yo, listen, Luda and Nelly and that whole wave, like, dog, strip club era, like, early 2000s, all the time.
Good memories
associated.
Absolutely. Good nasty memories associated with all of that music.
Yeah, so,
you know,
I'm definitely like, yeah, man, it wasn't my favorite shit, but like, to pretend like Nelly wasn't like one of the biggest artists in the fucking world.
Right.
Like, you're just like, that's like, "I'm too cool for school" shit.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
absolutely.
Like, yeah, dog, maybe you was, you know, you was really in heavy into your Jim Jones Purple City shit in 2004, but like, I'm gonna tell you, fucking Nelly was running the world. So
right,
you know, like he said, he got a fucking diamond album,
like a diamond out. Exactly. Exactly. And don't try to downplay, as a man, like, don't try to downplay his accomplishments. You know what I mean? Like, "Oh, wasn't nobody listening to Bull?" This is objectively not true.
Exactly.
A lot of people were listening to this dude.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, listen, man, it wasn't, like, again, wasn't my favorite type. Listen, man, Lil Wayne, when he was the biggest artist in the world, was not my sound. But to say, like, this dude wasn't a culture impactor, you're fucking vile. You're lying to yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I see that a lot. People, we were talking about this off mic earlier. People be adding me to, like, the real hip-hop groups. And I know they do the same for you. You know what I mean? And I had a guy last year in one of those groups say to me, Cardi B, never heard of her. I'm like, nigga, and then immediately turned around and was like, well, she does this that I don't like, and this and that, and I don't like. So what you're really saying is, I'm gonna try to like diminish this person or this artist by, you know, not acknowledging their existence and pretending like I've never heard of them. Yeah. But you actually have heard of them. You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand. You know, I've jokingly done that mainly with white people. Like, I've jokingly said to white people, like, I've never heard of, like, Nirvana.
Yeah.
Or the Beatles. You know what I mean? Just as a joke. But, yeah, I'm not jumping on, like, the internet to tell people, like, yo, this thing that you like is irrelevant and corny. I don't know if that ego boost that you get from that is worth it.
Yeah, on top of the fact that, like, yo, one thing, like, people got to remember with a dude like Nelly is Nelly came in with no cosigns from a non-traditional hip-hop place.
Yep, a region that nobody wanted to hear any rap from. Yeah,
and blew the fuck up. Like, no one, like, there was no, like, oh, yo, like, he's Puffy's new artist or he's this.
Right.
Like, this dude came from nowhere and blew the fuck up. Like, you have to give it to him just on those grounds alone.
Yeah. His sound was unorthodox. Mm-hmm. He didn't, like you said, he didn't come in with, like, a cosign from the machine or anything. Eminem, I think, is a brilliant MC. Eminem can rap his ass off. And I think that Eminem packaged himself in a brilliant way to capitalize off of his race and his gender and all of that. Like, they had a real clear vision for him, and he had a clear vision for himself. Eminem still had a cosign from one of the greatest producers ever.
Absolutely.
That ushered him into the scene.
Yeah.
Nelly didn't have none of it. Like, ask the average person who really knows, like, hip-hop production or, you know, like, reads liner notes and all of that shit. Who produced the first Nelly record? Like, who made the beat to Country Grammar?
Like, I don't know.
I don't fucking know. You know what I'm saying? It's my job to know shit like that. Exactly. I don't know. You know what I mean? He didn't have no, and I say that to say, not to diminish the person that did
No, not at all.
I say that to say that he really came in and made a serious impact on the music and the culture. And like you said, he was from a place, St. Louis? What rap came from St. Louis before him? You know what I mean? If anybody, it was a nigga in the back of the Source that you never, you know what I mean, that you never heard of. You know what I mean? Yeah. He really put his city, his state on the map and really went, you know, had like mass appeal for somebody who on paper had everything against him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Real quick, I think we should take a break before we finish. I had one little thing I wanted to bring up too, but I think we should take a break real quick.
Okay. Yeah, let's jump out. Come right back. Boom. Back in effect. So before we took a break, you said you had something you wanted to bring up.
I wanted to ask you your opinion on this. Do you think, as big as Luda was, do you think he might have launched an even bigger career in 2 Chainz?
No, I don't think that. Essentially, you're asking me, is 2 Chainz a bigger rapper than Luda?
Yeah.
No. I think that Luda, it's hard. You know, we would have to look at the numbers. It would be hard, and you know, measure it by that metric of sales. It would be hard for me to believe, because you think about it, when Luda ascended, he was still in, we were still in the era where people were buying, like,
physical copies
of stuff. 2 Chainz' entire run as a solo artist, he really came through that whole trenches of, like, you know, 2009, 2010, when
streaming became a bigger
streaming. Yeah, streaming wasn't like, you know, where it is now, but also physicals weren't, you know, had fallen off. So he really weathered a tough storm in the music industry economically, as far as like sales and stuff. So it would be hard for me to say that 2 Chainz is a bigger rapper than Luda. I think that he absolutely, he launched, like, okay, when you think of people, like I said, with Eminem and Dre, that might be the greatest combo as far as like a big rapper that launches an even bigger rapper.
Uh-huh.
I don't think, I don't think that 2 Chainz really surpasses Luda as far as like being big or like famous or popular. I mean, it's, you know, it was an impressive feat. You know what I'm saying? For him to kind of like, but then again, you know, when 2 Chainz was down with DTP, he was Titty Boy.
Yep.
Did Luda really launch 2 Chainz?
No, not really. I mean, I don't remember any like joints that he was on.
He kind of went Dolo.
Yeah.
And he changed his name. I can't think of that mixtape that he put out, but the one where he got like the what's the joint? Was it like the True Religion jeans with like the shit looked like the McDonald's on the back of it?
Yeah,
he was oh, like no, those were the or some shit.
Invitu jeans or whatever the fuck it was. It was something like that. It was like this Japanese brand.
It wasn't
brand.
True Religion.
Yeah, yeah, it was a Japanese.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of them shits, but niggas was wearing the bootleg versions of them. I remember that shit. But he had that mixtape where it might have been his first mixtape when he changed his name, and that shit like blew up.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know that Luda really launched him like that. He put him on early, you know what I mean? But I don't know that I feel like he kind of like went Dolo and launched himself.
Yeah, I mean, no, I agree. I agree. I just was thinking about that when I was watching him. I was like, you know what? I was like, I think I thought about that too. Just more because like Ludacris now is so much more like an actor and shit. He's not really a musician as much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Although I don't know why when they did the Super Bowl in Atlanta, he wasn't part of it.
Right. That's so crazy.
Yeah. But I mean, they missed the mark on that with like Atlanta artists, period. Mm-hmm. But I was just sitting there going like, damn, I mean, 2 Chainz has had like a pretty long run. Like, I don't think we think about it, but like, you know, like you said, I mean, he was part of DTP as Titty Boy. And then like, you know, went solo and did like his whole with the 2 Chainz shit. And like, he's still running and putting music out.
Yeah.
So I just thought about that shit. I will say like out of the two crews, DTP is probably a way more talented crew.
Yeah. Like I-20 could rap, Shauna could rap. Like their whole crew, they didn't really have nobody that was like a slouch on the mic.
Nah. They didn't have a dude that wore like half a Phantom of the Opera mask. Just danced.
Nobody brought Boyle up in this whole fucking thing. But yeah, it was cool to watch. Definitely think Luda won.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I don't see anybody. Maybe St. Louis niggas is out here like, oh man, no, Nelly won. But yeah, I think it was clear Luda had the sound quality, he had the presentation, and then he had the songs. It was cool. It felt like Nelly was kind of playing for himself.
Yeah.
You could tell he really likes his own music.
Oh yes. He was like cool. He's like dancing around like, and shit like
he was bopping and shit. He motherfucker had like a chicken pattern. He was going in. I was like, yeah, look at Nelly having fun.
Dude, like when he played Pimp Juice, I'm like, fam, print Pimp Juice out of like all these songs you got.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, what I was glad to see is like, cause the one song I remember more than anything is the No Matter What We Do, the Kelly Rowland joint. So I was like, when he wasn't playing it, I'm like, dog, how you got that one? But like, he kept it in his pocket to the end. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, dog, how are you not playing that? Like, it's not like it was my favorite song, but like, dog,
that was a hit.
It was, that was the thing. Like, man, you couldn't turn on like a music station, BET, MTV, mm-hmm. whatever, and that not be playing.
Yeah. Dog, all them shits. Like I remember when that Country Grammar shit came out.
Yeah,
they was playing that shit everywhere.
Yeah, that was big, man.
Every fucking
it was a huge hit. Huge hit.
Yeah.
So, you know, like that was definitely an era. Like that was an era in hip hop. And so, you know, like whether people like, oh man, that was my favorite hit, like regardless, it was a fucking era in hip hop.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Do you want to, we really only got one album.
Yeah, we got one album this week. Yeah.
It's a motherfucker.
Yes, it is.
We really only got one to talk about. Let me pull it up. I'll be forgetting like titles and shit.
I'm bad with that shit, dog.
You know what I'm saying? It's 1:34. Oh, yeah, yeah. Thank you for adding the breaks, too.
No problem, brother.
Word. But, yeah, Conway the Machine and Big Ghost put out No One Mourns the Wicked. And, yeah, it's like everything you would expect.
Yeah.
Conway is shooting y'all niggas. He's selling dope.
Yes.
The beats is hard. You know what I mean? He getting more money than you. It's real dope.
Yeah.
It's real
dope. I really like it. The El Camino feature is dope. Flea Lord feature is dope. Flea Lord
got shit.
Yeah. He reminds me of like Onyx, like a one man Onyx.
Right. Yeah, I gotta fuck with more. I heard one of his records, I feel like it was like America something. Maybe like a year or two ago, I listened to it and it was real dope. You know, you just kind of like take a chance on a motherfucker you never heard before. Yeah, his shit, he's really fucking dope.
Yeah, he's dope. Yeah, this is a super dope record. One thing I wanted to ask you, is this the same Big Ghost that used to do, because I know this, he's produced a couple different projects. Is this the same dude who used to write the reviews?
I suspect that it is.
Okay.
I could be absolutely wrong. Twitter niggas would know better than I would. But I always assumed it was the same boy.
Yeah, because that's what I thought.
I think the logo's the same.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And like, when I pulled it up, it was like Cocaine Biceps or some shit like that. And I'm like, that's what that dude used to say all the time in his reviews and shit.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, I wonder if this is the same dude. But yeah, that would make sense. I mean, it would be weird to have like one dude pop up as Big Ghost, like writing these reviews, and then Big Ghost Limited pop up too. Like, that's weird to have that, you know. But no, this is a super dope project. And Conway also, he just posted yesterday, or maybe it was two days ago, he had got forwarded this article about this girl who had just got diagnosed with Bell's palsy in Buffalo.
Oh,
And he showed up to this young lady. She's not even a woman; she's a kid. Like this young lady's house, and he said he was like, all she wanted for her birthday after she got diagnosed, he was like, all she wanted for her birthday, she wanted to help raise, fundraising for like this, for the less fortunate, for like a charity drive.
Wow.
And so like when he got forward to her information, he just like showed up with money and like donations for her charity drive. He also did a big thing for, the homeless shelter in the city of Buffalo. Delivering like a bunch of food and all that kind of stuff. So he's really,
I like seeing that shit.
Yeah, he's really been out here like trying to help, man. Like, and you know, from a city again, like, you know, Buffalo is a small city. It's not real big at all. These dudes are like taking the lead and like being very like, Griselda's being very like involved in the city and helping to do things in the city. And shout out to Conway for doing all that stuff, man.
Yeah. You like seeing the right motherfuckers get on.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
And be able to, you know, be able to like use their power and money and influence to like help people.
Yeah, absolutely, dog. Absolutely. So, yeah, this is a dope, dope project. Conway is, Conway's a beast, dog.
He's so good. And if I feel like all of them, Westside, you know, listening to his last album, Benny, everything Benny do, all of them are like getting better on the mic too, which is crazy.
Yeah, I think they're finding their final form type thing, you know what I mean?
Right.
Sometimes it takes a while to really get into your groove, especially when like early on it's a lot of hit and miss and like you're trying stuff and shit like that, because there's a lot of early Benny stuff that's like trap like real trap rap shit. And like, mm-hmm. you know, because when he was coming up, that was kind of like what was real super popular. And like, it's not really his best shit now. Like, this is really like his, like he's going into his final form.
Yeah, find that groove.
Yeah, exactly. Which, yeah, I would say definitely 100% check that shit out.
Definitely recommend it, yeah.
Yeah, that shit is an insane project. No one mourns the wicked. Right, I think it's only on Bandcamp, right?
That's the only place I've seen.
Yeah,
pop up on any streaming sites or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it might be up on Bandcamp for a while, then pop up on the streaming sites, or may never. But it's definitely a dope project, because I saw somebody ask Conway about it, and mm-hmm. he's just like in the comments, like, dog, this Big Ghost shit, like, he, you know what I mean, it's his, technically his project, so like,
right,
you know what I mean, right. He's, you know, he's decided to put it where he wants to put it at.
Yeah, it's smart, yo, like, just, yeah, put your shit on Bandcamp and let people buy it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a tool.
I
dog
would not, unless I had some shit where the label pressed me to be like, yo, we need this on Spotify, and what I'm not fucking with none of them.
Yeah, no, completely.
Some
I understand
shit I'm
that.
Putting out on my own, nah, I'm throwing it up on Bandcamp and asking people to come grab it.
Yeah, definitely. We can start. We can rap. You know, you can check us out on all the platforms, on Twitter and on Instagram. It's Serious Rap Shit. Mm-hmm. I'm INDI_SRS on Twitter and on Instagram. Give us a follow. You're John_Liberator on both. Mm-hmm. And you know, listen, if you're on Apple, you're listening to this on the Apple, on your, like, your iPhone or whatever, you can review this shit straight in app.
Yeah.
We need rates and reviews. We need that shit. It helps us out. 5 stars, of course, because you wouldn't give us less than that unless you try and get stole on.
Yeah, don't get slid.
Yeah. You have shit up on Bandcamp. Speaking of Bandcamp, you have shit up on Bandcamp.
Yeah, I had a couple joints.
Yeah, so go, you know what I mean? Go search that. It's just John Morrison 215, right?
Yep.
Yeah. You don't. Yep. Otherwise, you're like buying the dude's intro music that was a wrestler and shit. You don't want that.
Yeah, fuck that.
We also have the Abolish Ice hoodies and t-shirts. Getting starting to get warm out. Go get you a t-shirt or get you still a hoodie. It still gets chilly at night. And that's our collaboration with Incense Trap and Yoga. Mm-hmm. You're supporting a small business in a crucial time for small businesses. And you're supporting a black woman-owned business, which is dope. Other than that, we'll be back next week, yo.
Yeah.
Peace.
Peace.
Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.